In the days of Jesus, when he was walking the earth, he was known as a rabbi, a Jewish scholar and teacher, and people would bring really difficult questions to the rabbi, moral dilemmas, theological questions, and they'd be expected to give an answer. But in the story we read today, people are trying to trick Jesus. They're trying to trap him and show him out to be a liar, an imposter, somebody who isn't really who he says he is. They were trying to trick him because they brought a woman. I don't know how they found her, caught in the act of adultery. What were they doing at the time? And they presented her before Jesus and said, "What are you going to do?" On the one hand, the law of Moses stated that adulterers and adulteresses should be stoned to death. So if Jesus pardoned the woman, he'd be condemned for disregarding God's word. On the other hand, if Jesus said the woman should be stoned, he'd be accused of being unmerciful and harsh. And in any case, it was only the Roman authorities who could actually pass a sentence and condemn someone to death. It was a lose-lose situation, they thought. We've got him! What they didn't reckon on was that Jesus is a man full of grace. What they had no conception of is that the answer Jesus was about to give would change the woman's life for better forever. Because grace is a wonderful attribute of God. Grace is receiving what we do not deserve to receive. And we've all been there. We've met someone who's been so kind and gracious to us. We haven't deserved it. We haven't warranted it. Yet they've been gracious enough to bless us. Grace will often disagree with your sense of justice. But it's not fair. Why should that person be forgiven? Grace will often disagree with our sense of justice. Jesus told a wonderful story when he was walking the earth. It was a story about the vineyard workers. It's in Matthew 20, and you may remember it, where some people come along wanting a day's work, and they're given a day's work in a vineyard for the pay of one denarius for the day. And they're delighted. Yes, we'll go for that. That's a lot of money. We'll do that. And they work solidly for 11 hours, and at the 11th hour, one more hour left to go, the vineyard owner takes on and hires some extra workers. And then 12 hours is up, and it's pay time. And guess what? Every single one of them receives a denarius. Even those that only worked an hour. It's not fair, was the outcry from the workers. It's perfectly fair, because they agreed to work the whole day for a denarius. What we see is there's an experience of grace for those who only work the last hour. They receive what they didn't deserve, but grace gives us much more than we naturally deserved. The woman had made a mistake. We all make mistakes. She was caught doing something that she shouldn't be doing. We've all been there. But Jesus gave her much more. He gave her forgiveness. He gave her a chance to turn her life around. And the gospel which we preach, this gospel of the love of God being so great that he could not bear to see us wallowing in our disobedience, in the mess that we get ourselves into, actually became human flesh himself to rescue us. That grace exemplifies a much more gospel. We receive much more than we actually deserve. The Bible says in Romans 5, God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still in a mess, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then it goes on to say, how much more did God's grace overflow to many? And then it says, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of righteousness reign in life through one man? The grace of God gives us much more than we naturally deserved. Yes, There's something called sin, which very simply means not doing the things that we should be doing, missing the mark. And we've all been there, we're all guilty of that. We all miss the mark. I certainly do. Yes, sin is condemned, but there's mercy. There's forgiveness. The grace of God is so wonderful. Everybody, no matter where we are, what we've done, where we've been, if we just ask for God's forgiveness, can be forgiven. Yes, grace will disagree with our sense of justice. But God is willing to forgive when we are not. I've been a preacher for over 45 years now, and in ministry for 41 years. And I've preached in literally hundreds and hundreds of churches around mostly Wales and quite a few in England. And I've never ceased to be amazed at examples of the grace of God. I was preaching in a church once, and a man came up to me after the service and said, "Can I speak to you privately?" I'd preached on grace. I said, "Yes." He said, "I've done something wrong that is very serious. I was arrested, I was sentenced to a very serious crime, and I've served my sentence. While I was in prison, one of the chaplains invited me to an alpha course, which introduces people to the good news of Jesus Christ. And during that course, I realized that even though I'd done something so terribly wrong, I could be forgiven. So I asked Jesus to forgive me, and his crime would appall each and every one of us here." He said, "I ask God to forgive me. I'm out of prison now. I'm watched carefully. I'll be watched carefully the rest of my life. Here's my question to you as a preacher. Am I forgiven?" And what's the answer? The answer's yes. The answer's yes. We may not be able to do that, but God can. Because he dealt with the cause of our sin on the cross. Grace will often disagree with our sense of justice. And also, grace puts this thing called sin, or missing the mark and going our own way, into perspective. Jesus said this to her accusers, "Okay, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Okay, guys, you brought her here. You want to see her destroyed? Throw the first stone if you've never sinned. Nobody picks up a stone. Surprise, surprise. Nobody picks up a stone. Many people define sin in terms of what we read in the newspapers. The atrocity of war, rape, adultery, murder, drug crime, terrorist attacks, war, all of those things, yes, yes. But more accurately, sin is missing the mark. Falling short of where we should be, and everyone's guilty of that. And the Bible says that Jesus came to bear our sins. Keris read the verse, 1 Peter 2, verse 24. To bear our sins in his body on the cross so that we might live for righteousness. And this is what Laura is declaring this morning. In a few moments, she is going to be getting into the water with me. I'll be guiding her gently down the steps so she doesn't slip. We don't want anybody diving in head first. Spoils the symbolism. We'll come down into the water, and she will declare her faith in Jesus. And she will go under the water as a symbol of burial to her old way of life, and come out of the water as a symbol of resurrection to a new life of forgiveness in Christ. What a good day to do that. Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, sin is defined in the Bible as just falling short of the mark, not doing the good things that we should do. That is sin as well. There were Christians in Nazi Germany in the earlier part of last century who could have done a lot more to stand against Hitler, but didn't. Is that sin? Falling short of what we should be doing? But grace puts sin into perspective. If one of you is without sin, okay, guys, you're the righteous ones. If one of you is without sin, then you pick up the first stone. Nobody moves. Why? Because they're all guilty. Probably guilty of the same thing that they're accusing her of. Possibly even with her. How did they know she was committing adultery? What were they doing at the time? The hypocrisy of it. Sin matters to Jesus Christ. It's why he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. But Jesus does not condemn her supposed act of adultery more than the Pharisees' act of cruelty and hypocrisy. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. Grace puts our sin into perspective. And the mission of the church as a grace-filled community is to bring that good news of forgiveness. And I do that this morning as a preacher. I'm sharing the truth of the Word of God. Upon confession of our sin, there is forgiveness. And to declare that we've done that, we are baptized. A story is told of a man who was traveling on the New York subway on one occasion with his children, three children. There was a man sitting opposite him, and he was watching this man and his three kids, and the kids were absolutely disrespectful towards their dad. They were misbehaving, they were climbing over seats, they were punching people's newspapers who were trying to read them, knocking books out of people's hands, and the man who was observing said, "Can't you control your kids?" And he looked at the man that spoke to him and he said, "We're on our way from the hospital. Their mother, my wife, has just died. I want you to understand, they're having a hard time." And the man who made that accusation just went pale, shocked into silence, because he had a perspective on what was happening. The grace of God put sin into perspective. That's what Jesus is doing here. And the grace of God always looks to restore and not condemn. The Pharisees and the teachers who brought this woman in that superior, supercilious attitude, who thought they had the moral ground, they had the moral upper hand, those Pharisees and teachers of the law slinked away without any forgiveness for their blatant hypocrisy. But the woman went away and started a new life. And who knows? She may become a pillar of the Jerusalem church. She probably did become a church leader. Because from one desperate situation, she was transformed into a woman who had her life turned around forever. This is the grace of God, the message of Easter. And as we come to witness Laura's baptism, we are celebrating what God has done in your life, Laura. You gave your life to him many years ago, I believe. And now is the public declaration of your faith in him. We've all fallen short of the mark, all of us. But by the grace of God, we can be forgiven. I love the story of C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors. Anybody like The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe? Chronicles of Narnia? His many books that he's written. He was, of course, an academic, a lecturer. And one day, he was addressing his students in a university lecture hall, and one of his students asked him a question. They said, "Dr. Lewis, can you explain to us, please, the difference between Christianity and all of the other world's great religions?" And they got their notepads out and their pencils, because it was back in the day before iPads, and they were ready to take down his erudite response. References, context, books they could read. And C.S. Lewis just stood up, inhaled, and then said, "Grace." That's all he said. Grace. Because there's no other religion on the face of this planet that has at its heart a God who loved the world so much that he gave his only son. So whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We cannot earn it. We cannot win it. It's done for us. And we simply receive it. That's the message of Easter Sunday. That's the testimony of Laura's baptism. That's the word of God for us today. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the wonderful truth of the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who, though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. May we today respond to his grace, have forgiveness for our sins, and start a new life of faith in you. And we pray your blessing upon Laura as she in a few moments will give her story and her witness by being baptized. We pray blessing upon her and a fresh anointing and filling with your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.